Right, well, we're going to do something a little different. Yeah, a little different. It's not. I'm not leaving. I'm just going over. And we'll have the lights off. You know, better not forget that lot. The subject of our messages in this term is be light. And it's interesting, light is essential. It's not as dark in here as I would have liked, but then again, it's going to have to do. I come back a bit later. But I have my own... Is it going to stay there? I have my own artificial light. I do. And it's very interesting because light is essential for life. Without light, nothing can survive on this planet. Might take a little while, but everything will just simply vanish. Case in point, what happened to the dinosaurs? Now, we know that they were here at one point. When is debatable, but I'll leave that to more scientific people than me. Michael can tell you. Yeah. He told us all about light last time. But I'm not going to get that. No, I'm not going to get into that depth. But everything died out. And why? There were several theories. Was it a meteor? Okay. Apparently, so they say, a meteor struck the Earth. Here. Now, I have no idea how you pronounce that, but Chicxulub crater. It's in Mexico. It's in the Yucatan Peninsula. It was found, again, depending on which particular Wikipedia or something else you read or whatever, it was found at different times. Somebody said 1970, somebody said 1990, somebody said it was found by this person, another one said it was found by that person. So take your pick. But it's there, and apparently it is 120 miles in diameter, 200 kilometers. So from here to more or less Sydney. So it's big, it's deep, it's about, the crater or the meteor is about a kilometre down under the Earth, what's left of it. They found that because it gave out some peculiar mineral that is not found very much in Earth, but it was found here. And apparently meteorites are full of this stuff. Again, look it up. So you go. But again, it's... one of a theory. The other theory is this. Volcanic eruptions that spewed out lava and gas and ash and all sorts of things for thousands of years. And they say that that came from this area. Oh, let me get my little green pointer. This purple bit here, okay, is called the Deakin... something or other. Yeah, well, anyway, whatever it is. Yeah, I can't read it, but anyway, it's in India, and this area is about 200,000 square kilometres. So that's pretty big over here, okay? So that's another theory. But in reading all this stuff, there was one thing that I couldn't find. Wait, what happened? I couldn't find it. That's all right. Was it the flood? You know, I mean, it's interesting when you read these things that they found all this stuff in one layer, okay, but they never kind of worked out how you got into one layer. Where the flood, when you see what happens with the flood, it leaves things in layers. So I don't know, anyway, but whatever theory you want to come up with, light is very interesting. Light is something that you can need, that you need. See, I can, my little light allows me to see this, but I'm taking a walk again. I need some exercise this morning. But see, that's only just lighting up a little spot, nothing much, lots of shadows. But when I turn on the light, here we go, all the shadows disappear. And the light that I had is absorbed into the bigger light. I'll turn my light off now so that I save my batteries. Save the planet. But you can see the shadows that I had, or that were here, are gone. A bigger light has taken over. Now, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, tells us that we are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine. Luke tells us keep remembering which way to point this thing. No one lights a lamp and puts it in the place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in may see the light. See, in the days before electricity, lamps were a bit different. And they needed to be maintained for them to do the job properly. And there was something, a job, a proper job, back in the day, of a lamp trimmer. And this is what the lamp trimmer had to do. He had to trim the wick. Yeah, he had to, okay. I remember these things. He had to trim the wick to make sure that the flame was clean and bright. A wick that is too small, flame goes out. A wick that is too big gives off smoke and very little else. But if it's just right, it burns bright and true. So it's a very important that it would be trimmed properly. And of course, the other task was to fill the lamp reservoir. Because, I mean, now we just flick a switch and we don't really think too much about where it's coming from or how it's made. It just is there. But in the old days, if your lamp ran out, well, you know, I think there's a scripture, isn't there, about lamps being run out and yep, running around trying to get your lamp refilled? Yeah, well. Yeah, the ten virgins. Five good, five bad. But, so that was the thing. So maintaining the lamp, and you had to make sure the lamp glass was clean, because the lamp glass, you know, it got smoke on it and that kind of stuff, and it, hello, God calling, and it, if it didn't clean it, you couldn't see anything. Just like my glasses, or my grandson's glasses. Now they are something to behold. Some of the stuff that he gets on those glasses, I don't know where it comes from. But anyway, but these are the These are the sort of things, can you see them? These are a couple of the old style lamps. You can see the wick coming down into the reservoir basin, and there's a spare wick at the bottom there. They're more ornamental than you've got. A good old fashioned lamp, the old miner's lamp that come up good. Now, when I was looking back on this, now there's the trimmer at work with his pole. Sometimes they had ladders, and they'd climb up and they would fix the thing. So that was a job, long gone, of course. But when I was thinking about this, I did think about my grandparents. My grandparents lived in a terraced house that stretched for ages, houses next to one another, no garden, no nothing. But their house had no electricity, would you believe it, back in the 60s. Their house was lit by gas lanterns. And they had to light the gas lantern and they had to trim it and all that kind of stuff. No electricity. No indoor plumbing either, for that matter. That I do remember vividly.
Out the back.
Way out the back. No grass, just no concrete, just bitumen. Everywhere, not a blade of grass to be seen. That was my first 5 years of life, but luckily my dad moved us to a little mining village where there was grass and it was a lot different. So, you see, when we read these passages in Scripture, we instinctively think about light. You know, let your light shine. Well, you know, okay, you flick it on. You don't have to do anything, do you? You don't maintain it. If it breaks, you throw it away. We're in a throwaway society, so if the lamp stops working, you do whatever, your bayonet or your screw it, whatever type of lamp you've got, and you toss it in the bin. Goes to landfill. And you put a new one in and you flick switch and that's it. You don't give it any thought. But when these scriptures were written, what kind of lamps was he talking about? He wasn't talking about them, was he? No, he was talking about these type of lamps that do require maintenance, do require a bit of work from the person who owns it. You can't just simply, you know, turn it on, forget about it. It didn't work that way. You had to trim it. You had to fuel it. You had to do all these sort of things just to keep it going. Couldn't just flick a switch and Bob's your uncle. There it was. So our spiritual lamp is like that old type of lamp. It isn't a flick and a switch and forget it, which unfortunately a lot of people have that mindset. Turn it on 25 years ago and not worry about it ever since and expect it to work. Usually when they're in the dire straits and they want help from above, but they don't give it any thought between then and now. Sorry about that, but that's the way it is sometimes with some people. But you have to work on it. You simply can't just turn it on and ignore it. It doesn't work that way. So your spiritual lamp needs attention. It needs trimming. Oh, boy. You see, Paul tells Timothy, he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Do your best to present yourself. That means study. That means thinking about it. That means doing something. A worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So you need to study, you need to make yourself available, you need to know the scriptures a little bit. I mean, you don't have to, I really admire these people that can quote scripture at the drop of a hat, but me, I have to go to my concordance and I have to go to my little, all my little apps and what have you to, I think the word is this, and type it in, and then it comes up with a big long list and go, ah, yeah, that's the one I want. But that's me. But, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm no great scholar, so that's okay. But these people that can, you know, drop a scripture at the drop of a hat is fine. But I have trouble remembering my own name, let alone scriptures. But you see, the thing is, this is what we don't like. Nobody likes it, but it's required. The Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Okay, we'll modify that last word and we'll say, and daughters, because we don't want to be PC these days, do we? So, but the Lord will chastise you. He will guide you. He will remind you that that thing is not really going to do you much good and you're better off without it. And sometimes we agree and we let that go. And sometimes we think, no, thank you, I'll hang on to that for a while. And we all do it. We all do it. But God knows what is best for us. And if we hang on to that thing, have a guess what will happen? He'll get back there again. Oops, whoop, wrong button. Here we are. He'll get back there, that button. He'll get back up here. And he'll give you another guy. He'll just say, look, son, you didn't quite get that right last time. Let's try again. That's a good thing about God. God is not somebody that goes, oh, well, you know, put you on a scrap heap. You mucked it up last time, so I'm not going to give you another go. No, God's not like that. Give you another go. And hopefully, the old saying, the older you get, the wiser you get. I'm not quite sure about that, but see how we go. But hopefully, you've learnt something. Because from the time that God told you to get rid of it and the time you still haven't got rid of it, there's been whole heaps of trouble and you've been in strife a bit and this, and hopefully you've learned that if you'd have got rid of it way back when God told you to, you wouldn't have the strife you're in today. But we're not all that bright. Some people look, you can put yourself in whatever category you like. This is me speaking about me. Okay, so We're not. Yeah. It's not comfortable, but it is necessary for this discipline. It's necessary for you to be kept on the straight and narrow. I mean, Jesus said, you know, wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the road that leads to life. And he also said, very few find it. So consider yourselves to be blessed if you're on that narrow road, because you are one of the very few. Not a sobering thought, that there's a lot of people going down the highway in their Jags and their Mustangs and their whatever, thinking that they've got everything that they need, but they're heading for a brick road, a brick wall at the end of the road, unfortunately. But anyway, enough of cars for one day. But you see, we need the light that comes from Jesus. The light from Jesus enables us to walk the path of peace, the path that he wants us to be on. As you saw, when the light's off, the big light is no longer shining. The little light, which was me, doesn't illuminate much. And if I'm not careful, I'll fall over and break my nose or something. Maybe equally worse, but still. But when the big light is in your life and you're walking in the big light, then everything is, as they say, as plain as day. So, in Luke, get the right button. Here we go. This is from Luke chapter 1, verse 78, 79. This is part of the Song of Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. And this is the song he sang when he found out that his wife was going to have a baby. And she was elderly, shall we say, and past giving birth or birth rearing or whatever you want to say. And so he was, you know, over the moon, wasn't he? And this is the thing. He says, in the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Talking about Jesus being the light. Now, it's good to remember that the light that shines from us is not us. Okay? Don't fall into the trap of thinking that it's you. Because let me tell you, it's not very pleasant when you find out that it ain't you. I've been there, done that, and it's not very nice. You got to remember who it is, what we are. Isaiah 64 verse 6 tells us very plainly what we are in our natural state. Each one of us will become like something unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all wither like a leaf, and our iniquities carry us away like the wind. See, no matter what we do on our own, in our own strength, it's filthy rags. It's nothing. You won't achieve anything in your own strength. Only when you rely on Jesus and the light and the power and the strength that he gives that you're able to accomplish what he wants you to accomplish in your life. Every one of you has, or God has a plan for each and every one of you. And each and every plan is different. Every person has a different set of circumstances in their life. What's happening in my life is not happening in yours. What happens in your life is not happening in mine. I have my path to walk, you have your path to walk. But every path requires us to have clear vision, and the vision comes from the light. When you turn the light off or forget to turn the light on, you fall over stuff. Do that every morning when I get out of bed. Forget to turn the light on and fall over my shoes. My wife keeps telling me, put your shoes away. I have a habit. Wherever I take my shoes off, that's where they stay. So I remember where they are in the morning. I usually find them by falling over them. But you know what it is. It's just, look, it's a male thing, I think. you don't want to be classified. Well, it's a Derek thing, put it that way then, all right. But anyway, we get there in the end, I suppose. So, we should never, ever get above ourselves or think more highly of ourselves than what we should. I think Scripture tells us that quite clearly. You know, don't walk into a banquet and sit at the top of the table because somebody might come in who tells you to get down the back. It's better to be down the back than be called up the front. It looks a little better on the repertoire or whatever it's called. No. So we should never think of ourselves too highly. But on the same token, don't think of yourself as nothing. Okay, don't blow, you know, I mean, don't write a resume that makes you out to be a brain surgeon when you've never even finished high school. That ain't going to work. But God made you. And he doesn't make any bad decisions when he comes to making people. Okay? Look, people do some stupid things, but that's not what God intended. And God intends for you all good things. You are the apple of his eye. You know, God loves you. How do we know that God loves us? Well, God sent his one and only son to die for you. Okay, it's you. When you think about it as for you, it becomes a bit more personal than for the world. I mean, it says God so loved the world, and that's everybody in it. But when you think about it as God loves you, it's a lot more personal. And it means a lot more. So don't overdo your qualifications, but don't sell yourself short either. That's not what God wants. Okay, so what does God want? 2 Corinthians, the Spirit gives life. And such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So we are part of this new covenant under the Spirit of God. And that Spirit gives us life. Doesn't give us a license to do whatever we want, as some people think that they can do whatever they want and get away with it. But it gives us a license to live as God wants us to live, to follow the teachings that we find in the Bible that Jesus told us about, love our neighbor as ourselves. All those things that Jesus promised, all the things he wants us to do. Talks about the Good Samaritan. Well, that's a good story. The Samaritans and the Jews did not like one another. Yet his story that he told was about a Samaritan helping a Jew. With no thought of what it was going to cost him, how he could get it back, or anything. He was just out there to help somebody who needed help. And he didn't worry about whether he was black, brown, brindle, pink, or anything else. You just simply need to follow the teachings and the requirements that Jesus has. So, I think this one is my last scripture. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Sorry? The scripture is 2 Corinthians 4:6. Yeah, you can't read it, can you? No. No, I just wanted the candle.
You need more light on it.
Yes, I am. Well, hang on a minute. Here we go.
Turn
the light on. Yeah. So sometimes these things look terrific on my computer screen, but then when you transfer it to that, it's not quite the same. But I try. I try. Okay, so the thing is, I'm going to finish my message on that note. The light that we have should reflect Christ. Should not reflect Derek or anybody else, but the light that we shine should reflect Christ. And to that end, we should all strive. To that end, I don't think we're all there yet, because we're still on earth. So, but we should try. And we should, even though we might get opposition, and we certainly will, because Jesus said, you know, they persecuted me, so they're going to persecute you. Persecute? Yeah, that's better. And that's true. That is true. But the funny thing about the church, really, is how it seems to expand when it's being persecuted. Yes. And when it's not persecuted, it just seems to shrink. Now, that is the Western, if you look in the Western world, we are not persecuted. We don't have to go around hiding in shadows. We don't have to have secret handshakes or secret signs to acknowledge who we are. We can just simply walk down the street with the Bible. We can go across the road as we do, talk to people. We can walk around the streets. We can pray. We're not persecuted as such. I mean, sometimes you do get something. I had the unpleasant circumstances many years ago of handing out how to vote cards for a Christian candidate, and the venom and the vile words that were spoken to me and at me for just simply handing out a how to vote card was absolutely incredible. So, you know, there are certain people who are so blinded by the devil that they can't see the truth, and they will persecute you. But we're not persecuted. Not like, you know, the Chinese church, the underground church in China, the underground church in Iran, for places like that, you know. There are stories coming out of places like that where Muslims are being visited by Jesus in their dreams and giving their hearts to the Lord, but having to keep it secret because if they told anybody, they would be killed. Quite simple. Now, that is persecution. That is persecution. And the church in those areas seems to be flourishing, whereas the church in the West, which is not under persecution as such, seems to be going the opposite way. Sad. But it is. But anyway, I'm not going to finish my sermon on the sour note. I'm going to finish it with saying that may we all allow the Spirit of God. Now, that is who's going to do the change. Derek can't change Derek. Derek has tried to change Derek, and it don't work. Okay? Jackie changes Derek. Exactly. I'm learning. I'm slow. I'm a slow learner. It's only been 52 years. Give me a chance. But we should let the Spirit work on us, because it's the Spirit that will change us. It's the Spirit that brings out the good side of us. And we've all got a good side. We've all got a little bad side too, if we're honest with ourselves. But it's the Spirit of God that will diminish that and bring out the best in us if we allow the Spirit of God to work in us. So on that note, I will finish my sermon.
Thank you, Derek. That was great.
Thank you.
And before we